Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The Chiefs doubled down on the offensive line, then they tripled down and quadrupled down. If you love line play, the Chiefs are your team now. No excuses this year, as maybe no team has ever changed a position group as dramatically in one off season. We ask the question, did the Chiefs go too far? Daniel Lynch is the next big thing for the Kansas City Royals. He makes his major league debut Monday night against the Indians. He's big, has electric stuff, and could have the brightest future of any arm in the American League. This could be a sign the Royals are all in this season. Kyle Busch wins the cup race at Kansas Speedway. He also won the truck race. He had a terrific restart move with 10 laps to go to win on Sunday. In college football, Kansas is introducing Lance Leipold as the new football coach, and I spent time with a couple of Hall of Famers this weekend. In Texas, Republicans sweep the special election for Congress, and the Dems are left in a state of shock after they get only 36% of the vote in a district that Trump only won by 3. But wait, Biden's the most popular president ever, right? What's really going on here? Tucker Carlson of Fox News just undresses a former colleague on air. This is spot on, but it was still kind of shocking. A juror from the Chauvin trial is bragging that he lied to the court when he said he didn't know anything about the death of George Floyd and could be impartial. Turns out the man is a BLM activist that wore a t-shirt with words you won't believe. How does this stuff happen? It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Elite Automation, designing and installing your building system that will save you thousands off your utility costs. They customize it for everything that you do at your business. Whether you have a warehouse, church, school, office building, Elite Automation can help you save money. They also have a consulting arm that costs nothing. You just share what you save with Elite Automation. For more information, call Brad or any of the guys at Elite Automation, a great local company, 766-2188, or online to learn more at EliteAutomate.com. Make your building great again with Elite Automation. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. The customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. And boy, did Mike and Tim and the guys at Roberts Robinson make it easy for me. I got online sitting right here where I do my podcast, on my desktop, literally built a Chevy Blazer while on the phone with them in about 15 minutes time. It's ordered. They're going to make it exactly like I like it. They'll have it delivered there. I'm old school. I'm going to go to Excelsior and pick it up. I just like that. I just want to go there and get my new car. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, they'll deliver it right to your house, wherever you live. Used to matter which dealership was closest to you. It doesn't really anymore. So go with somebody you know and trust, Roberts Robinson. Like-minded like we are. These are good folks running an honest business with great GM products. Chevrolet Buick and GMC in Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com. Chevrolet, find new roads. And bstock.net, they're having a big sale on Microsoft Surface computers, 30% lower than online. That's right, you can find them all online at bstock.net. And if you can come into the outlet store in Olathe, you can save even more on crazy great items with big savings, like the Samsung TU-8000. This is an 85-inch TV. At Best Buy, it's $19.99. At B-Stock, it's $11.99. And if you live around the 435 Loop in Kansas City, they will deliver it to you free. Right now at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. All right, let's do it. We're heavy on sports. We got the Chiefs draft, and the young phenom, Daniel Lynch, is coming up for the Royals. I'm fired up on KKHI. Hit it.
Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at WindowsKansasCity.com.
A very busy weekend in sports this past weekend, and so much to talk about here today on KKHI. It's great to have you with us for the start of a new week of podcasting. Feeling good. Spring is here. Everything is ready to roll. The Royals getting ready to play 7 in a row at home, which is awesome. We got a big NASCAR race over the weekend, the Chiefs draft. So many things going on, and we will start with the Kansas City Chiefs, who clearly are they're the big team. They're the big fish in town. Everybody knows that, the way the Chiefs have been going the last few years under Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of reached that critical mass stage with the Kansas City Chiefs where it's Super Bowl or bust, and everybody wants to know, did they acquire help? Did they find players in this draft that could help them win the Super Bowl? And I'll just start with my overall thoughts about what the Chiefs did. They waited a little longer in this draft to get guys that can catch passes, but they got two of them. They made a move up to get Noah Gray, the tight end out of Duke. They considered taking him in the fourth round, went with the edge rusher, Josh Kando, in the fourth round, and then Noah Gray just kept falling and was still on the board, and the Chiefs said, we got to move up and get this guy because they really, really like the tight end, and it doesn't sound like much, but that's a trade up in the fifth round, and then they go with Cornell Powell, the wide receiver out of Clemson in the fifth round, and to me, these two picks are going to define whether this is a great draft for the Chiefs or just a draft for the Chiefs. So let me explain that. Look, Nick Bolton was their top pick in this draft. Well, Orlando Brown actually was with the trade. But Nick Bolton was the top pick, a little bit undersized, but they love his playmaking ability. I think he's going to be a fine player in Kansas City for a long time, a good locker room guy. Same thing with Creed Humphrey, a center that Brett Veach described as simply too good of a football player to pass up. And as I watched the rest of the draft unfold, I was very surprised that the Chiefs right there didn't get a skill position player and say, we got to have somebody for Mahomes to throw the ball to. But they like the depth in this draft. They like the second wave of pass catchers, receivers, tight ends. And then they acted on that in the fifth round with the move up to get the tight end and the wide receiver out of Clemson, Powell. The Chiefs got, I think, they got what they think they need, and that is some roster depth, some more options, some more competition at that space. In that room that, you know, should Byron Pringle get hurt or, you know, one of these other guys that's been around for a couple of years, you may have somebody that can step in and contribute here in the first year. So there's no big splash. There's no big headline here that Patrick Mahomes has this weapon to throw to or this guy to do that. And that did surprise me a little bit. But the Chiefs described this draft as one of those just good weekends where it seemed like the players they wanted fell. Now, clearly these weren't exactly the players they went into the draft saying these are the ones we want, but in almost every case they would have been higher rated on the board than where the Chiefs were picking, and so they really liked that. Overall, I thought by going with Humphrey with the center, who could be a center here for a long, long, long time, he could be just a terrific player, and I've got nothing against centers or offensive linemen as a rule. I still think the Chiefs have overreacted to the Super Bowl loss this offseason. And I hope that it doesn't, this would be my only possible warning, and maybe this doesn't happen. Maybe Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce are fast, healthy, great shape, everything is good. Maybe Mecole Hardman makes a step forward. Maybe Byron Pringle becomes more of a factor in the offense. Maybe all of these things are true. Maybe they have a great, healthy season and nothing happens. But the Chiefs, to me, are very close to a couple of turned ankles away from going, uh-oh, now who do we throw to? And that's just kind of how it looks to me. I would have addressed that situation in a stronger way this offseason. The Chiefs decided not to. I told you initially when they started the offseason process of breaking down the roster, rebuilding it, and it's a completely new offensive line. It's just it's a complete makeover at offensive line from last year. A complete makeover. My initial reaction to all of it was the Chiefs were overreacting to a loss in the Super Bowl to Tampa. They're on board. I'm the only one saying this. I know I'm on an island. I know you probably completely disagree with my assessment right now that it's an overreaction. But I watched too many games where the offensive line was good and the Chiefs were scoring 40 points or 50 points. I watched them go on the road in a gut check game in the regular season to Buffalo and block like road graders. All right, the Chiefs ran the football in that game. They played physical. It was cold. It was rainy. It was one of those days. And the Chiefs lined up that day and hit the Buffalo Bills in the mouth with the same offensive line that got beaten in the Super Bowl, that got knocked around in the Super Bowl. I saw that offensive line perform. Not every position group on every football team shows up every single game and is great. The Chiefs' offensive line was not good in the Super Bowl, although they ran the ball pretty well. That's what the Chiefs look to me like they're doing here, is they're trying to build a running game through the offensive line. Yes, they want to protect Patrick Mahomes more. But if we're being completely honest about what makes the Chiefs great, it isn't the offensive line blocking for Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes stepping out of the pocket of his offensive line and making big plays like nobody else in football, where his offensive line has very little to do with it. He's now out on his own. He's improvising. The great quarterbacks are like that, really. Many of your great quarterbacks have always been able to make a big play, even to a certain extent, and this is a totally different one. This is not moving around or scrambling. It is just simply moving up Tom Brady, for years, in a collapsing pocket, has had the ability to step up. Ben Roethlisberger does the same thing. Step up, stand strong in the pocket, and complete a pass with hands in his face, getting knocked around, whatever. In fact, we've seen Brady and Roethlisberger do so much of that in their careers, you almost think they're lucky. You're like, how in the world did you just throw that ball 11 yards with that pocket collapsing all over him and somebody grabbing his ankle? And how did he do that? Well, they're big, tall, strong, classic starting quarterbacks. It's not what Mahomes is. Mahomes is a get-out-of-the-pocket quarterback. It's not where he goes first. When it falls apart, he gets out. When he gets out, magic happens. Looks to me like the Chiefs have rebuilt their offensive line to run the football better, which maybe was the missing element that we're not paying attention to this offseason. Maybe it isn't as much about, wow, Mahomes was under duress in that Super Bowl. Mahomes has taken a lot of the blame for that Super Bowl now. And I don't know that it's just him being a leader and saying coach speak or whatever, but he has done several interviews now this offseason, said he played poorly. I blew the reads. I was trying to throw the ball too far downfield all the time, where they, you know, had all that coverage, that deep zone coverage, and there was nothing there for the Chiefs, that it was all underneath, it was all short, that he should have checked into some running plays. They had passing plays calls. He should have changed them. They should have been running plays. They were giving them the run. And yes, Mahomes was under duress in that game, and yes, he got hit a lot. You know what else he did? He held the ball a lot. He held the ball a long time in that Super Bowl because nobody was open, because Tampa had it covered downfield. Took away the deep ball, flooded the secondary with defenders, made Mahomes hold until they got there and hit him. And yes, there were plenty of times that he got hit fast. And I'm not making any sort of a comment that the offensive line was any good in that game. I'm not. I just know Patrick Mahomes wins games even when his offensive line isn't good. I think the Chiefs know that. And I think this overreaction this offseason, again, three linemen in this draft. You've got Brown, the traded one, Humphrey, the center, and then the sixth round pick, a guard, who they say is more than a depth player. They think he's going to be a good player for a long time. The Chiefs have absolutely overreacted on the offensive line. So if you're an offensive line person, and this is the end-all be-all, the Chiefs clearly said this offseason, we're going offensive line above everything else. Great. A lot of you got what you wanted. This completely goes against the grain of what the Chiefs have done since Andy Reid got here. They have not been that team. They have not been the team that has thrown all its resources at the offensive line. They've worked it out. They've found quality players. They've found some value. They've found some veterans, and they did some of that. Bring Kyle Long and some other people. They brought some people in. It's going to be very interesting, but my goodness, you talk about throwing resources at one position. Offensive line is it. The Chiefs have completely remade it, and they continued that in the draft, doubling down on this thing, basically saying, we're all in. We're blaming everything on the draft. And the reason I think it's an overreaction is I don't think that Andy Reid and his staff, I don't think the Chiefs, I don't think the real people in charge, the difference makers, and let's talk about who the difference makers are. Mahomes, Andy Reid, right? Kelce, Hill, you know, your big playmakers, your big difference makers on your football team. I don't think they've said the right things in many occasions, but I don't think there's been enough accountability on their part to say, where did we go wrong in this Super Bowl? It was a bad game plan. The game plan never changed throughout the game. The Chiefs, you know, I described it as trying to score 14 points on every throw. You know, Mahomes was trying to score two touchdowns on every pass. It's not how the game's played. Chiefs did not stay within themselves. They absolutely panicked a little bit. They probably took their opponent lightly. I've heard so many people this weekend at an event I was at in Manhattan were still talking about, oh, well, you know, the Britt Reid accident and that happened. Like, I might be the only one. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that was some sort of a distraction and the Chiefs couldn't play a football game because Britt Reid was in a car wreck. I can't. But I know this. I know that Andy Reid, by and large, his playoff game plans have been bad, that the Chiefs fall behind, that they play poorly, and they've had to come from behind. And they were able to do that. They were able to win all those games and win a Super Bowl, but they weren't able to do it against Tampa and the takeaway from it within days. I think Andy Reid and Brett Veach were going, we're blaming this whole thing on the offensive line, and I think that's too simple. I think there were other mistakes made in that game. There were other things the Chiefs did wrong that I hope they're analyzing and breaking down this offseason and saying, we need that to not happen next year in the postseason. But I just, by and large, felt like this draft was a continuation of overreacting to the offensive line. So I'm going to give it like a B minus. I give the overall draft a B minus because I'm just not big on this many resources into the offensive line. But I do like the fact that the Chiefs traded up for a tight end. When they've traded up for players, they have found players. The Chiefs rarely trade up for somebody and it doesn't work. There's somebody on the board that they go, wow, that's a really good value in the fifth round. They were seriously considering Noah Gray in the fourth round and went with the edge rusher out of Florida State, Josh Kando. But then they traded up to get him, Gray, in the fifth round and got their wide receiver out of Clemson, Powell. So they did get the stuff that I like. Hopefully they got the stuff that you like, and we're all pleased with the draft. I just felt like, again, with the trade for the left tackle, then going center, then getting a guard later in the draft, that's three players out of this draft on the offensive line after almost completely remaking the offensive line before the draft. It was a little too O-line heavy for me. It just was, but there's no excuses this year. We see bad offensive line at any time this year. If we see bad offensive line play, I don't want to hear it. Don't email me. Don't call, complain about the offensive line this year. I don't want to hear it because the Chiefs couldn't have done more and couldn't have reacted more to all of this. One other football note before we move on to the Royals making a big move, and the Royals are making a big move. The other football note is the Aaron Rodgers thing just won't go away, and I don't know that I understand it. He's under contract. They're offering him an extension and a new contract in Green Bay. They've told him they're not going to trade him, and the rumors just keep flying. And Aaron Rodgers' only recourse now is to say, I'm going to quit. I'm just not going to play. Well, I'll believe that when I see it. The Raiders keep coming up as a possible trade destination. I don't know. I'm a million miles away from the Green Bay situation. All I can do is read these stories. I know Aaron Rodgers is a difficult person. I know he's had a lot of people in his life that he's had a hard time getting along with, right? So I really don't know what's going on in Green Bay. I don't know if it's about money. I don't know if it's about play calling or control or decision making. I know he's upset with the way they lost. He believed they were the best team in the NFC, and they probably were. And it didn't work out. I think the Chiefs were the best team in football, and it didn't work out. So it doesn't always work out. Sometimes the other guy wins. I don't know what's going on in Green Bay, but it just keeps popping up. It was the Broncos during the draft, after the draft. Now it's the Raiders. I don't know how you consummate this trade at this point. You don't have the draft. You don't have the draft picks to trade away. It's all about next year and beyond then. So I don't know. I guess if I had to make any kind of a possible guess, it's that Aaron Rodgers plays for the Packers this year. I've never seen a guy walk away from a sport. I've never seen a quarterback walk away and not play. That's really the only card he can play. He's under contract. They say he's really mad because the Packers told him that they would work on trading him. Hey, we'll think about this. We'll trade you. And then they changed their mind and said, we're not trading you. He's the MVP of the league. You don't trade that away. He's got a good 5 years left. I'm not sure I get any of this, but Aaron Rodgers apparently not happy in Green Bay. We'll keep our eye on that. I only bring that up because if it's just a stunner, at some moment, you know, every alert goes off on your phone and you look at your phone and Aaron Rodgers suddenly is in the Chiefs division. Oh, that would change things a little. That would change things a lot. What would happen with the Vegas odds if Aaron Rodgers were quarterback of the Raiders? Let's just keep him right where he is, if that's okay with everyone. Royals open 7 at home beginning Monday night. Daniel Lynch, the young phenom, will pitch for the Royals. It'll be his major league debut. Daniel Lynch is the number one pitching prospect in the Royals organization. There are some people that have him as a top 5 pitching prospect in all of baseball. He is 6'6". His stuff is electric. He is a left-hander. He's a freak of nature. The Royals have had him in the minor leagues since they drafted him in 2018. They drafted him and said, we have to work on him staying in control with his delivery, that his stuff at every level has just been so good, he's a thrower, and he can get wild. You don't always know exactly where it's going, whatever, but they believe they've done this. They like him to remain calm, stay in control with his delivery, and bring the heat, and he is electric. Big-time stuff from Daniel Lynch. He goes immediately into the rotation. Jacob Junis is headed to the bullpen. Jacob Junis has pitched great. And he's going to the bullpen. Chris Bubich has also been called up. He pitched out of the pen this weekend. So the Royals have got some lefties here. And Lynch is a tremendous prospect. at 6'6". It'll be fascinating to watch him pitch against the Indians, who are a pretty light-hitting team. Not as light-hitting as, say, Detroit, but the Indians are a light-hitting bunch. It's a good team to debut against. I like it. The Royals clearly are saying, we're in better position right now through April than we thought we'd be in. Let's do it. Let's find out who we are. I won't say they're doing tryouts, but Junis worked his way into the rotation by pitching well, and he's done nothing to go to the pen other than Daniel Lynch is just banging on the door. It's time to bring Daniel Lynch up. Here's what I think this is about. I get the very distinct feeling that Brad Keller could be going on the injury list here soon. For what, I don't know. They can name it whatever they want. I don't think they want to demote him. I don't think he's going to correct his problems pitching every 5 days. He hasn't made a long enough of most of his starts to get into a rhythm yet. He's been knocked out of so many games in early that he hasn't thrown enough pitches to get better. I don't know what they're going to do with Brad Keller. The Royals have an ace problem. Keller is not their ace. He was coming in, but he is not. Danny Duffy's the ace. If Duffy didn't show up on Saturday and pitch the way he pitched, the Royals would have got swept by the Twins. And it would have been a big, big deal in this division and in this race. The Royals lost 2 out of 3, and everybody listening to this podcast right now should be thrilled that the Royals lost 2 out of 3, because they got bombed on Friday and Sunday. Now, they played a great game Saturday. Danny Duffy was the stud of that one. I mean, he's arguably the best starting pitcher in baseball so far this year, making a run at a Cy Young Award. It's crazy how great Duffy's been. And boy, did the Royals need it this weekend against Minnesota. They needed it in a giant way. The Twins only pick up one game on Kansas City instead of 3. It is a huge deal, a major difference. Royals finish the road trip 6-3. Okay, good. 7-2 would have been awesome, but 6-3 is fine. They're in first place. They still have the best record. They're bringing Daniel Lynch up. I love this. Everybody in the organization loves this guy. All right, we've all loved Brady Singer. So Lynch's stuff is way better than Brady Singer's. Brady Singer's a better pitcher, more under control, knows where it's going, commands the strike zone, does everything you want a young pitcher to do. Total signs of maturity, relaxation, staying within himself, all that. Daniel Lynch is the opposite. He's been the wild guy, and he really, really, really throws it. This is going to be fun. Be really interesting to see what the Royals do with their rotation. If it's go time, it's go time. Let's go with these young players. You know, Brady Singer, to me, when he came up, immediately reminded me of Brett Saberhagen. I'm like, okay, this guy knows how to pitch. He's not perfect, but he knows how to pitch. You could see that when Brett Saberhagen came up for the Royals in the 80s, if you remember Brett Saberhagen. He pitched a long time in the big leagues and was a tremendous pitcher for a long, long time. But you knew when he came up, he knew what he was doing. He just had control of it all. He knew how to do it. Brady Singer's that guy. Daniel Lynch has not been that guy. Daniel Lynch is the guy with the gazillion-dollar arm who just flat brings it. But he's young enough, and the Royals have worked with him long enough, they think it's time. I don't think they're bringing Daniel Lynch up here to start a game and go back. I think he's going into the rotation. I think this is permanent. I think they want Lynch to stay, and if there's another change to the rotation, it's going to be Keller or Minor. If Minor's an every other start guy, you know, he went out and had a beautiful outing and then just got rocked. So we've seen a little bit of both. Keller's on watch, has to be on watch. If Junis is pitching as well as he is, Keller has to be on watch. This is fun, though. This is fun. I can't wait to see Lynch with his start against the Indians on Monday night. Kansas Speedway over the weekend, the Bushy McBush Race 400. It's a play on Bush beer. Bushy McBush, Bush Race. Kyle Busch wins the Bushy McBush. That's what happened. Kyle Busch won the truck race and the Bushy McBush race at Kansas Speedway. Kyle Busch is a great driver. It's his second win at Kansas. He's a two-time cup champion. 17 years. How good is Kyle Busch? 17 years in a row, Kyle Busch has won a race now. This was his first win of this year. That is 17 straight years Kyle Busch has won a race. The record is Richard Petty with 18 consecutive years. If Kyle Busch wins a race next year, he will tie Richard Petty for the most consecutive years winning a race. That's amazing. It was a great day out there. Lots of fans. Lots of people tailgating without masks. It was cool. All the TV stations, you know, did stories and stuff, and you saw these people. There weren't very many masks. And people had a great time at Kansas Speedway. And that's just a Pat Warren and his staff at Kansas Speedway are just the most top-notch people. great conservatives, as you know, Pat Warren's wife won office in Topeka and is a great Republican. It's a fantastic conservative Republican sport. It is. And the fans there are cool and they're behaved and they come to have a good time and they love their sport. And I'm a big fan of NASCAR. And way to go, Kansas Speedway, for pulling the event off and showing the way. Just gather people up. Let's get back to some normalcy. Let's have some fun. They had some things that were closed. A lot of the campers were outside the track instead of the infield and things like that. But, man, it was just a great day all the way around, living great American life at a great American sport. NASCAR and Kyle Busch with the restart, 10 laps to go, goes around Kyle Larson, who was the best driver all day. Larson basically had control of this race. After a caution, 10 laps to go, Busch wins the restart and wins the Bushy McBush Race 400 at Kansas Speedway. Also over the weekend, Kansas announces, and they'll introduce on Monday, their new football coach, Lance Leipold. Lance Leipold is from Buffalo, where he was not, don't look at the overall record, okay? He was not very good, 37-33, but like a lot of places, you take over a crappy job, a team that's losing, and that's misleading. So the last 3 years, Leipold was 24-10 and won a couple of bowl games. That's really good. In Division III, Leipold was epic. Now, I like to remain consistent. I've always said guys that can coach football, and the level doesn't matter. And we learned that with Leipold. He went 109-6 at Wisconsin-Whitewater, his alma mater, Division III. Then he went to Buffalo, where he finished 24-10 with two bowl wins. Now he's at the University of Kansas. I don't know if this is the one, but someday, I'm promising you right now, someday, this streak of coaches will end at Kansas and they will hit it out of the ballpark. And someday, some guy is going to have a background where he coached at Wisconsin-Whitewater and then Buffalo. And when he starts winning at Kansas and just gets to, let's say, 8-4, 8-5, something like that, and makes a mid-range bowl game and finishes fourth in the Big 12, he's going to be making a lot of money, living in a great university town close to a major metropolitan area where the pressure is not on him every day as if he took the job at Oklahoma or someplace like that. And they're going to understand, just as Bill Snyder did many, many years ago, that staying right in place at this school is the right thing to do. Somebody is going to do that at Kansas. I don't know if it's Lance Leipold, but I can't give you one reason why it's not. The only reason I could say it's not is because it hasn't been that way. It just hasn't. That they haven't found that coach or brought that coach in that did that. One good Mark Mangino year is all Kansas has in decades. Really. Really. He had one winning season in the Big 12. Mangino, one winning season in the Big 12. Most people don't know that. They think he had a bunch. He did not. He had one winning season in the Big 12 conference. So it hasn't caught. It hasn't stuck. Mangino obviously had issues and was pushed out basically for mistreatment of players and hasn't surfaced since as a head coach. So, look, maybe Leipold's the guy. I'm rooting for him. I think it'd be great for sports in this area if Kansas got better. Hey, do I want them to, you know, become dominant and beat my alma mater 20 years in a row? No. No, I don't want to see that. No, I don't. But I do want to see them be better. You know, I'd like to be able to, okay, Kansas is playing Oklahoma today. Maybe it's going to be a game. Let's see if they can get a game in Lawrence and play somebody tough and hang with them and get some drama. It will take a while. Leipold's been very outspoken about this. It's like there's no magic wand. There's no magic formula. If there was, people would sell it for millions. We're just going to evaluate players every day, recruit the players we think we can get, coach them up, and see if we can better play. We'll see. AD Travis Goff has made his statement. Lance Leipold, the new coach at Kansas, gets 6 years, $16.5 million. It's a $600,000 buyout that KU had to pay in Buffalo. Again, Kansas is, like a lot of athletic departments right now, strapped for cash, but you don't see it reflected in these types of things. He is the lowest paid coach in the league, Leipold is, but that's still a lot of money for a guy that's never coached at this level. $16.5 million, and they wrote a $600,000 check to buy him out of Buffalo. The buyout to get him away from Kansas is significant. It's $6 million this year, $5 million next, $4 million the year after. It stair steps down, so it won't be cheap to hire Leipold away. So I like that from that standpoint. KU has done a good thing there. Travis Goff, the AD. I was in Manhattan this weekend, speaking of football coaches, and spent a little time with legendary Hall of Fame coach Bill Snyder at the Colbert Hills Anniversary Golf Tournament. Jim Colbert opened Colbert Hills in 2000. A lot of people were really instrumental in getting it open. Bill Snyder helped, obviously. Howard Sherwood, Sherwood Construction, very important people. The Veneer family, so many. With the land there, it's unbelievable. If you play golf and you've never played Colbert Hills, make a point this summer of going. The Flint Hills of Kansas are maybe the most underrated thing that you've ever seen. It is just a spectacular setting for golf, and they do such a great job with the club and the facilities and what they've done there. They were going to have the 20-year anniversary tournament last year, but COVID canceled that, so it really this year was the 21st year, and it was great. Jim and Marsh are so proud, and as I told him, I said, you know, when we're all just dust 300 years from now, this golf course is going to be here, and people are going to remember you and what you've done for this community and for golf in this community and for the K-State golf program and all those things. It really is a monument to the game. It's just an unbelievable golf course. It's one of the golfiest places you'll ever go. If you love golf, you'll love Colbert Hills. And Coach Snyder was there, and Coach Kleiman was there. Spent a little time with him, talking just briefly some football. Very nice man. Really, really nice people in and around K-State and at Colbert Hills. But mostly congratulations to Jim and Marcia for their legacy. You know, Jim won 38 tournaments or something on the PGA Tour and the Senior Tour. And I joked with him this weekend in front of people. I said, you know, younger kids get around, and there were a couple of baseball coaches that were pretty young. Maybe one was in their 30s, one was a grad assistant, his mid-20s, and they're from out of state. I said, well, if you don't know anything about Colbert's golf career, just know this. When he was on the Champions Tour, he'd play crappy one week and finish 17th and get a $28,000 check. I said, the guy was so good and so dominant for so long on the Champions Tour and won so many events, it just became, you know, almost absurd. A tremendous career, but he also developed, operated, and owned a lot of golf courses around the country. He's been very successful doing that, but it will be Colbert Hills that he's remembered for, I think, with the people to him that count most. That's his friends, that's his family, that's going to be his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. They won't remember, they'll see old footage, you know, of things, of Jim winning tournaments, but what they'll remember is the place that he built and how they're proud of it, and it really is a very special place. TJ Vilkanskis was there as well. He's one of the great sponsors of this show. His company is Back9Development.com. He built a road there called Back Nine Way that is right by the first and the 10th tee boxes. He's developed some homes in there, and he's building these condos, the Solheim at Grandmere, and I was able to tour them. I posted a photo of a view from a corner condo on the third floor. I did that on Friday when we met with TJ over there and toured through these. These condos are unbelievable. He's building a great resort pool and workout facility. There are 8-foot hallways. The elevator is massive. You can put a sofa in the elevator to take your stuff up. I mean, he's done everything. It's pretty clear when TJ builds and develops something that it's first class. And he's selling condos to people in Garden City and Great Bend and Dodge City and Overland Park and Leawood. And they're saying, we come for game weekends and we can't get hotel rooms. And the way real estate is right now, we're going to buy one of these as a great investment and buy in and have it and be able to go for game weekends and never have to worry about getting a hotel room again or anything like that. It's lock and leave. Some people are doing them as second homes like that. Some are going to live there. Professionals will live there. And I think some will have their kids spend a year or two, maybe their junior or senior years, in college staying in these condos. It's a wonderful location. You can walk to at least 3 different bars and restaurants from there. Great, great spot. Congratulations to TJ. I'm very happy for him. He's got a vision. And he knows what he's doing, and he loves quality. He loves building quality, and you can just see it. Touring through the condos is really a neat deal. It's the Solheim at Grandmere. If you're interested, go on back9development.com. That is the location. So it was just fun being there. We played great. It was a 4-man scramble, and I don't know what it is about Colbert Hills. I've said for many years, I joke with people, if I had a golf course, I would cut the hole, the cup, about a quarter of an inch bigger than the regular cup. Nobody would know it. But people would come to my golf course and they'd make more putts and they'd have more fun. And almost every player that I've ever played with at some point in a round of golf putts the ball and touches the cup and it doesn't go in. And if my cup was a quarter of an inch bigger, that's one more putt you'd make every round. And people would not really know this. They'd just say, I like to play there. I got the idea many years ago after playing with Jim at Colbert Hills. And I said, Jim, I don't know what it is about your golf course. I make more putts at Colbert Hills than any golf course I've ever played, and it is just like clockwork. Like, I just show up and make putts. The greens are very true, very perfect. There is nothing even remotely squirrely or gimmicky about Colbert Hills. Like, I'm not the greatest putt reader, okay? I can see and feel the putts at Colbert Hills. I'm not talking about straight putts, folks. I'm talking about, in some cases, a putt, a 15-footer may break 2 feet. But I can see it, I can feel it, I know the speed, and I make more putts. Maybe I'm just confident, maybe I'm just comfortable, I don't really know, but it was fun. We shot 14 under in a scramble, and we didn't have like a single-digit handicap guy on the team. We didn't have great players. We just went out and, we never hit a bad shot all day. We didn't have a bad one. We were never, four balls in the woods or anything like that, or four of us missed the green. We didn't have that. And somebody just stepped up and made a putt every time. It was fun. We had a great, great time. It's a terrific golf course. I think you'll really like it if you go play Colbert Hills sometime. I would strongly suggest that. We're brought to you today by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 for emergencies so you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Many of you are getting the free inspections this spring. You're calling them up at Buck Roofing saying, hey, I heard there's a free inspection. This is anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, right up the I-70 corridor. Buck Roofing is there for you. They'll get you the free roof inspection this spring if you call and mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. Just call 384-2680 and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Your first appointment is free at Fry Orthodontics if you mention KKHI. 12 locations in the metro area. That first appointment is free, or you can log on and schedule that appointment at fryorthodontics.com. Your smile is just the start at Fry Ortho, but they also have two new programs. Free retainers for life. That can be up to like a $500 value, right? And Invisalign for the same price as braces. Now at Fry Orthodontics. If you go with Invisalign, it's fewer appointments, it's less time missed, school or work, it's less painful, and it's better hygiene. All the way around, Invisalign is now the same price as braces. Consider this at Fry Orthodontics. Make the phone call. Please mention the podcast. 469-9191 or online at fryorthodontics.com. And Sunday is Mother's Day. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, is your one-stop shop for all things mom. Whether it's your mom or the mom of your children, it's Joslyn's Jewelry. Online at joslynsjewelry.com. Joslyn's is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family at 95th and Antioch. So there was a special election in Texas in District 6, I believe it was. They had a special election. Democrats thought they had this. They got all this confidence. Oh, we got 80 million votes for Biden. Everybody loves the Democrats. Everybody loves Joe Biden. Everything's changing. There was nothing fraudulent. The mail-in balloting didn't make any difference. It's just America has moved left. We all love Joe Biden. Can't you feel it? Can you not just feel? It's like being at Arrowhead. It's like, 5 minutes before kickoff. It's like Arrowhead Stadium. I could just feel the excitement for Joe Biden. We could just feel it. It was a blue wave, man. We could just see it. And the Georgia Democrats that won the Senate, it was all legit. All this stuff was legit. And it's going to happen. Now it's coming to Texas. Dems are going to take Texas. They're going to get Texas. They do a special election. Democrats really thought they were going to do this. So the special election consists of a whole bunch of people running, and the two top vote getters are going to run each other for the seat. Well, the top two were both Republicans. So the runoff is Republican against Republican. So the Republicans have won the seat. This is a district that Trump only won by 3% in the general election last November. There are people looking at this going, there is massive buyer's remorse on Biden and the Democrats. That a shellacking is coming next November. A red wave like you've never seen, and this is just the beginning of it. 36% of the vote in this special election were Democrats. That's it, 36%. 64-36 was the number. Again, Trump won by 3 points. And in the special election, it was 64-36. How do you explain that? This is massive. Joe Biden is not popular, by the way. He just isn't. And he certainly isn't popular in that district where two Republicans will run against each other. Now he's taking shots from his own party. Did you see Hillary Clinton, her comments on Biden? Biden pulling out of Afghanistan. Hillary Clinton said, big mistake. This will be a breeding ground for terrorists now. And terrorism is about to come back to the United States. I'm like, there's a pick-me-up. That's a feel-good. Thank you. It's pretty bad when Democrats are pounding on their president that's only been there 100 days. Not going well for Joe Biden, and the country doesn't seem to like the direction he's taking it. No surprise there, but elections matter. A lot of things matter. One of the problems that Republicans had was chronicled by Tucker Carlson last week on Fox News. He said, why aren't Republican politicians like Republican voters? We've often wondered this. We call them rhinos. We wonder why they're so middle of the road or maybe even leaning left on so many things. Why are these the people that win the election or are speaking for us? Their only job, as Carlson said, was they go to Washington and represent us. But they're not like their voters at all. The voters are more conservative than the actual politicians. And so Tucker Carlson did a piece, and he just ripped into everybody know a guy named Frank Luntz? Used to see him on Fox all the time. He did the focus groups. Looks a little bit like Elton John, right? I mean, they both have the bad hair piece. They really do kind of look, looks a little bit like Elton John. If you dressed him up, put the funny glasses on him, he'd look a lot like Elton John. Frank Luntz was on Fox News forever. He did the focus groups. Tucker Carlson just rips into him. Says the reason the Republican Party is not represented by conservatives and the voters are conservative is because Frank Luntz. There are problems like Frank Luntz, who's connected to Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, and all these Republicans who aren't very conservative as this pollster, as this advisor. This is what you're supposed to say about things. This is how things are. Well, Luntz has basically run around the last 4 years and just bashed Donald Trump. Well, Republican voters didn't like that. I didn't know this. Tucker Carlson said Luntz is a classic liberal that Republicans in D.C. listen to all the time. His biggest client is Google, but he's worked for Pfizer. He's worked for Intel, you know, the big government, FBI, all this other stuff. Everything that is left, everything that's liberal, Frank Luntz has been in on. And Tucker just goes all up in his kitchen. He says, look, the 90 seconds you spend saying hi to your UPS guy when he drops off your Amazon packages is a better indication of what's going on in the country than 12 people at a strip mall at one of Frank Luntz's focus groups. I mean, he just undressed Luntz. He's, look, he's not a bad guy. It's just bad for conservative politics that any Republicans allow Frank Luntz in, that he doesn't represent the people that vote for Republicans. He doesn't know anything about them. And he's basically a classic liberal advising Republican candidates. That's how so many of us feel like we are not represented by those that we vote for. But I want to assure you, if you live in Kansas or Missouri, a lot of listeners of the podcast live in Kansas or Missouri, we are all represented by two people that do not fit into that category. Josh Hawley does not fit into the category of a rhino or somebody listening to Frank Luntz. And neither does Dr. Roger Marshall, the new senator from Kansas. How do you know this? Well, you know this because mainly the Kansas City Star every single day has a negative story or opinion piece on either Hawley or Marshall. They hate them. I mean, they hate both those guys. They hate them so bad. It is so venomous. It is despicable and horrible the things that they come up with and write and do to these politicians. They hate them. The Star hates Josh Hawley. They hate Roger Marshall. That's how you know those aren't Frank Luntz Republicans. That's how you know those guys are doing their job. And I think I should point that out here on the podcast from time to time and remind everybody that Josh Hawley and Roger Marshall are fighting the fight. They're fighting the fight that you want. They believe in what you believe in. And I believe in them. And I'm glad they're doing it. And just keep watching. Just keep watching what the media in Kansas City do to those two candidates. They don't get as much like Roger Marshall doesn't get hammered in Wichita that much. And I don't think Hawley gets clobbered in, you know, Jeff City or Columbia. Probably gets beat up a little bit in St. Louis. It's mostly the Star. It's just gone so far left. It's crazy. And they are all over Roger Marshall and Josh Hawley. And I think they should wear that. Those two politicians should wear that like a badge of honor. Oh, how about this? I won't spend a lot of time on this. Maybe we'll do a follow-up in a coming podcast. Did this go under the radar this weekend? Did you guys see this? One of the jury members from the Chauvin trial in the killing and the murder of George Floyd has come public. Juror number 52 is named Brandon Mitchell. And he's come forward and said, I did my part, and I've been talking about this since last August, where there is a T-shirt of Brandon Mitchell wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt that says, get your knee off our necks. Brandon Mitchell is an activist for Black Lives Matter, wears a T-shirt that says, get your knee off our necks, and somehow was on that jury. That's amazing. He convinced the judge and everyone else there. Apparently, they didn't do enough of a background check to find out. How's that possible? Derek Chauvin had a $1 million defense team from the police fund. If they had all this money, how did they not know Brandon Mitchell was a BLM activist that wore a T-shirt that said, get your knee off our necks? He's bragging about it. He's telling BLM activists everywhere to get on juries. His message is pretty simple. Arrest and jail the white people. That's it. That's what he stands for. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's remarkable that that came out. Enough said. I don't know enough about him. I don't know that much more. Maybe we'll learn more. If you were on that jury and you were white and you came forward and there was some resistance, like I wasn't real sure about the murder charge, or whatever, you could be like in physical danger. You could be in real danger, but not this guy. He's living in a free America. Brandon Mitchell lives in a free America where he can express that he was fraudulent, that he frauded the system. He did. He's a BLM activist who wore a T-shirt that said, get your knee off our necks, and went in there and during jury selection convinced them that he would be fair and completely honest and impartial and knew very little about the case. That's what he said. That should be a crime. That should be a crime. That should be punishable by law for him to be on that jury. That should be a crime. To sit there and lie. If you can't lie as a witness, why can you lie as a juror? If you're a juror, why can you lie? Why can you say, I don't know anything about this case? I know very little about this and I'll just be impartial. And then it's found and you come forward. Hey, look at me. This was last August. I got this T-shirt. It says, get your knee off our necks. We were marching for George Floyd. Unbelievable that that's not a crime. And we'll finish today with this study. Well, it's a poll and a study they've done in California on electric cars, which are clearly a big deal. Clearly, I've not had one. I've ridden in them. Clearly a big deal. 20% of people who buy an electric car switch back to gas. They poll under a category of their, do you believe in A, B, C, or D? And A is charging the car is, quote, a total hassle. 20% of the people say it's a total hassle. It takes too long. And 20% of everyone that got an electric car in California has traded it in for a gas guzzler. They were one and done. That surprises me a little bit, but it is also correctable. The charging times are coming way down. They will come way down. The battery technology will get better and better. I have no doubt we're moving toward a day where there's very little that's powered by gas. And it should be that way. If that's better for everything, well, we know this. It's better for emissions, for one. Whether or not it actually saves energy, I don't know, because it takes a lot of money to build batteries and to charge batteries. You're using juice there too. You're still paying for some energy somewhere, and it takes coal and hydro and all kinds of different things to make electricity, right? So it's not like electricity is free. Maybe someday we all have one solar panel on our car and it's fueled by that. That seems like that would be free. That might be the best way. We haven't gotten there yet. It will get better and better. The thing I don't like about the electric car is it's too quiet. I know that's ridiculous, but I like the feel, the hum of the engine, the roar, a little throaty, I wonder if they'll put those on electric cars to make them feel and sound tougher than they are. I wonder if they'll do that. 20% of electric car owners buy one and go back to gas because it takes too long to charge. I think that's a correctable problem. I got a friend who loves his Tesla. Loves it, man. I've ridden in it several times. It's a nice car. It's cool. It's really cool. I don't know that it's for me, but it's really cool. And I get it. I understand why people like it. It's fast, man. Electric cars are fast, right? Whew, good stuff. There you have it. Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Now we have over 6,000 of you. Hit follow, like, or subscribe. Over 6,000. And it has mostly been since the Super Bowl, because I never really talked about it the first few months of the show, but talking about it has been working. you're doing it. You're hitting the subscribe button wherever you listen, and you're telling others about the podcast, and they're hitting the like, follow, or subscribe button where you get your regular daily podcasts. I appreciate that, whether that's Podbean, the host site, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, we're everywhere. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, thank you for doing it, but you have an option there to like or follow. And Apple keeps saying they're changing the word subscribe. Nobody likes that because subscribing on Apple's free. So people don't, when people see the word subscribe, they think it costs money. They don't think that when they see a button that says follow. So if you hit that, just do the free one, man. I greatly appreciate it. It's helping a great, great deal. And the word is getting out about Kevin Kietzman has issues. And I thank you for listening. And we're off to a great week. Off and running. Enjoy the Royals game on Monday night. The rookie, the kid, Daniel Lynch, making his major league debut.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.